It's showtime.
Bob Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Sometimes it's almost like the goddess of irony looks at the day of the week and says, hey, you know what? I'm gonna give a gift to Bob and the Porn Family Community Congregation for Titanic Tuesday. Because that's what it is, you know. It's Titanic Tuesday on the horn. You might recall that many, many years ago, our buddy Jim was listening to right-wing radio over in America's fifth smallest radio market, Beckley, West Virginia, and was listening to the morning monotone when he heard one of the mouth-breathing, knuckle-walking faithful call in and say, Steve, how come it is that you reckon that there is seashells in the rocks in West Virginia? Because West Virginia ain't nowheres near the beach, and I done seed them when I was working away down in the mines for that sacred, holy, precious coe. To which the morning monotone replied, well, caller, that's because of the movement of the Titanic plates. Titanic plates. And thus was a tradition born that lives on to this very day here at the Horn, Titanic Tuesday. Yes, a day when we celebrate Titanic right-wing intellect, the likes of which send, see an iceberg in the distance and say, flank speed, I think we can cut through it. And yet, still, no word whatsoever on the Titanic clamdy shucking knife. Nope, not a word. And so it is that we will be celebrating Titanic intellect this Tuesday evening, the last Tuesday of the month of May, the 29th of May, 2018. Just as we have, most every Tuesday for the last many years. Long has it been since the morning monotone was heard on the radio airwaves over in Beckley, but, we can't forget him because, you know, a monotone like that doesn't just come along every day. So it's the it being the 29th day of the month, we don't have any we don't have any subscribers to thank because the 29th and the 30th and the 31st get all screwed up. Well, you know, 30 days hath September, April, June, and September. All the rest have 31, save for February, which is just a mess. And so it all kind of comes to a close around the I don't know, maybe there'll be somebody something tomorrow. But anyway, we have no subscribers to thank this evening. But I can always encourage you that we need subscribers. About a quarter of the monthly fundraising needs of the Horn are met by our subscribers, and that would ordinarily mean that we have fundraising free days for about five programs a month. But that presumes that we will actually meet the fundraising goals that we have on a daily basis up until those final 5 days, and this is one of those months when that has not happened. We had a challenge on the table last night, courtesy of Charlene in Rhode Island. It went unmet. And so, consequently, the fundraising goal for this evening is, wait for it, $90. $90, and we're done with fundraising for May. $90. So, 9 at 10, 10. Hey, how about 9 new subscribers? And since it's squirrely over at PayPal, because they pull out on the day you do the subscription, how about 9 new Patreon subscribers? And shucks, your subscription won't even come out until the first day of June. How about 9 new Patreon subscribers? Run over to headon.live, where all the streams are running hot and true. Go over to headon.live, click on the Patreon link, and just subscribe. And we go back to that, Bob, what's it going to cost? Well, you know, if it's $10. I mean, you can't, I doubt if you can even order a quarter of a jar of Alex Jones's paleo chocolate chicken bone powder goop for $10. But it is something a little slightly less than half of a McDonald's hamburger per day. No cheese. About 48 cents a day. So it would be nice. Otherwise, you know, no, hit the PayPal button if you don't want to subscribe. But can we just knock that $90 down, please? It'd be nice. And again, it's all over at headon.live, courtesy of Brother Deacon Asa. There's a PayPal interface and a Patreon interface. And, access to the chat room there. And in fact, if you've never been there before, I highly recommend it. You'll enjoy the dickens out of it. There's a great conversation that goes on every evening during the 3 hours in which this program is live. Just click on the chat room, pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and you will be immediately greeted and welcomed by the likes of Anatole and Hoghead and Squeaky and VT Blom. You'll be moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, even though a spacing guildmaster, has chosen not to fold space today and become Man Cave. And it'll be you'll have a lot of fun. Bless your heart, Ralphs. Thank you a ton. Ralphs says, what the heck? I'll chip in $10 and add another 10 if it's met, Bob. So that would be 10 and 20 and 30. That'd leave $60. We're scrambling to knock down the rest of the month of May. And, you know, the difficulty would be understandable if we were trying to raise, you know, what did I see with one political candidate's? Oh, we've got to raise $30,000. Mm-mm. No. Just no. And again, at least if we do it this evening, then tomorrow and Thursday, no fundraising. And I can't tell you what a relief that would be. All right, so that's all out of the way. At least I hope it is. Thank you very, very kindly, Ralphs. Thank you so much indeed. But the Goddess of Irony gave us a little gift today. Because, well, you know, starting back about November the 8th, 2016, we have been bombarded by the for-profit media exhorting us to, wait, take it easy. Don't be so quick to judge. Please. Listen to those Listen to those white Trump voters, and try to identify with their economic anxiety. And every time we do, they say, and give us the middle finger, and march around in their Klan costumes or their Nazi costumes, or put out a racist tweet, which is what Roseanne Barr did today. Larry said, Bob, are you and Agnes in despair because one of you guys' favorite primetime shows was canceled today? I know what huge fans you guys aren't. Are. Ooh, no. No, we're not particularly broken up about it. Roseanne Barr is without a TV show because Roseanne Barr, being his how she was a loyal Trumpanzee, a loyal maggot. Just couldn't keep her racism to herself because part of being a maggot in America is the idea that you no longer have to suppress your inner monologue. And in Roseanne's case, she trotted out the old ape analogy. And she aimed it at Valerie Jarrett, formerly of the Obama administration, accused her of being the love child of the Muslim Brotherhood and Planet of the Apes. Mm-hmm. And as predictable as clockwork, right on time, as if operating on like a Nazi bus a timetable, you know, or a fascist timetable, along came, of course, Ted Pantsload Nugent. Immediately ran to the Twitter to help haul poor Roseanne up the cross there and get busy nailing her in and putting that sign right up above her, INRI. I'm nailed right in. Or in Ted's case, I'm nailing Roseanne in. And on the other hand, so we got that going on, and we'll go into some detail. But I would be remiss if I did not mention the other breaking news of this late afternoon. Eric 50 Shades of Greytons has decided, no, maybe he doesn't want to be governor of Missouri anymore. I just got a note from Sister Carol Baker saying, I'm having too much fun to watch the 50 Shades of Greytons resignation here in Missouri over the sex scandal. It's a beautiful thing, though now Roseanne is too busy calling George Soros a Nazi and making fun of Chelsea Clinton. She's getting ass-reamed on Twitter. And I helped, says Sister Carol Baker. Yes. Hey, golly Moses, this is really, really special. For instance, no, like I said a little bit ago, Ted Draft Dodger Pantsload Chicken Shit Nugent ran off to the Twitter and said, so Roseanne referencing a movie title is racist, lying, dishonest, soulless freaks from Planet of the Apes. Hey, yeah. Thanks, Ted. Thanks for living up to everything we expected. The most high-profile member of the National Rifle Association to be. Although maybe the R stands for something else. The National Rifle Association. Lee with a note says, at least she has other talents. She could sing the national anthem again. No, Lee, fear not, my friend. I will not play that clip. I will not do that. Granted, precious few of them, but there are some standards that obtain here among the Horn Family Community Congregation. And that's one of them. But my God, the white wing jumped out there and got busy in a drop-dead hurry. Oh, yeah. I mean, it didn't take any time at all before, you know, zing. The nails were out, and they were, my God, they were scaling the crosses as if there was a free maggot hat at the top of them. And the funny thing is, oh, wait a minute. The funny thing is, there was nothing really calling for her to do it. She just woke up and, I guess, went off her meds or something, and bang. Away she went. But see, that's the way it is when you suffer from debilitating economic anxiety. Mm-hmm. One minute you're it blathering along, and the next minute you're saying that somebody's the love child or a cross between the Muslim Brotherhood and Planet of the Apes. The response was swift. It was so swift that on one website, they still haven't, the little annoying ads, the ad rotator still says, should ABC have fired Roseanne after her racist tweet? Oh, God, vote now. Oh, please. So she put out the racist tweet, and in an informal survey of a number of different media sources, most of them I've seen, which do not include Fox News, TV, Radio, Rwanda, have unabashedly said Roseanne's racist tweet, which is kind of, I guess, a step forward. If you refer to a person of color as a monkey or an ape, maybe the for-profit media have finally figured out that's racist. And that's a step forward. But the first step was when she announced that her joke, as she called it, because I'm damn if I can find a punchline in that. It was just a nasty little exclamation. Well, the first part was, or the first one of the first things to happen was when the one of the producers of the program bailed. And it was significant. Let's see, here's the exact quote. Muslim Brotherhood and Planet of the Apes had a baby. VJ equal VJ, Valerie Jarrett. I got hip to all of this because Tracy out in L.A. said, "I can't stop laughing," and sent one of the various news stories along, which had no problem calling the tweet racist. Now, ABC Entertainment President Channing Dungey couldn't quite bring himself to, or herself, I'm not sure, Channing, not yet. Roseanne's Twitter statement is abhorrent, repugnant, and inconsistent with our values, and we have decided to cancel her show. That but didn't say it was racist. And this is after she, after Roseanne had, no, really, I apologize, I'm canceling my Twitter account. One of the things that that I found interesting was in an article over at BuzzFeed, they reminded me of something I had forgotten, but was not surprised by. That's right, Roseanne was the Green Party presidential candidate in 2012. Because we live in a post-racist America, and well, if you want to talk about, if you want to say that something's racist or engages in racism, that is, what's the phrase? That's identity politics. We've got to talk about class issues and only class issues. We can't have this identity politics. But the white-wing media got busy in a real hurry. Todd Starnes over this, but it's okay for Hollywood to disparage conservative women, huh? It's Todd over here, buddy. Pay attention. And of course, Alex Jones was early to the party. Hi, Roseanne. It's time for you to strike back against those thought police, all caps, and really shake them up. You've been on the show before, and it's time for you to come back on. I'll give you a free paleo chocolate chicken bone shake, if you will. No, he didn't. I added that point. Over at so-called Turning Point USA, Charlie Kirk. Joanne Reed repeatedly and intentionally published bigoted ideas over long periods of time, lies about it, gets help covering it up, fake apologizes and is heralded as a hero and keeps her show. Roseanne tweets something racist, immediately apologizes and loses her show. At least Charlie Kirk acknowledged that it was racist. That's a big thing for a white winger to do. On the other hand, Fulcrum News from some character named David Seaman. No, really. These are the folks who hustled the Pizzagate disgusting lie. Roseanne told a tasteless joke about a tasteless person who committed her life to weakening America and poisoning our own population's strength. Tasteless? Tasteless? And Valerie Jarrett is tasteless, too? Who knew that David Seaman had gone over and tasted Valerie Jarrett? I didn't. The networks, ABC, CBS, NBC, are proven enemies of the American people, stacked to the hilt with pedo-compromised pawns for globos. Oh, my God. Okay, thank you for the clarification. Channing Dungey is female. Okay. I guessed from Channing, but I didn't want to assign gender. We've already talked. Let's see. Jack Prosobiak. Contact ABC immediately if you want Roseanne back on the air. Roseanne, Tim Allen, Kevin Sorbo, Stephen Baldwin, and other. Wait a minute. Blacklisted content creators should start up their own version of a blockchain funded Netflix. It'll be watched by dozens. I added the dozens part. Some 52nd tier right-wing blitherer named Bill Mitchell said, I'm not sure how saying someone looks like a child of Muslim Brotherhood and Planet of the Apes is racist. I thought Muslim Brotherhood was supposed to be a good thing, and liberals say we are descended from apes? What am I missing here? Everything, Bill. Everything. And then he posted a picture of a Planet of the Apes ape next to Valerie Jarrett because he's desperate for the same sort of attention. Then there's the anti-Muslim freak Laura Loomer. ABC News literally just canceled Roseanne's show because she dropped some major red pills in a tweet. So lame. I love Roseanne. She's my spirit animal. A goob by the name of Lucian Wintrich from Gateway Pundit. I'm canceling ABC. Oh, well, that would be good for you. Good luck with all that. Faith J. Goldie, who is a white nationalist, which of course we all know here means Nazi, said, "Real Donald Trump, please bring Roseanne to your rally tonight." Because they're having a little clavern affair in Tennistan this evening in support of Marsha Blackburn in her effort to become the successor to Bob Corker in Tennessee. Hopefully that will be about as effective as his advocacy was in Alabama and West Virginia. And because, by the way, one recent poll shows that, and I'm sure it'll narrow, but it shows that Joe Manchin is up by double digits over out-of-state pill hustler Patrick Morrissey, the chosen candidate of both the West Virginia Republican Party, the National Republican Party, the Republican Senatorial Campaign Committee. And, of course, big opioid. On the other hand, both Lee and Tracy have pointed out the cast of Roseanne is now on the unemployment line, except for John Goodman. He'll be returning to SNL as Rex Tillerson. Yeah, I don't think any of them's going to be eating beans. Tracy pointed out the only problem is all the other people who are going to lose their jobs because she's a bigot. But I don't necessarily think all those other... Then we're talking about people, you know, in the crew. And it takes a hell of a lot of talent to pull a television program together. The people on the cameras, the people doing the audio, the makeup, the set, the props, costumes. But they're gonna find other work because it's still Hollywood and they're still doing stuff. There's still other TV to be produced. On the other hand, since she had also included in her little tweet storm today a reference to Chelsea Clinton and George Soros. No, really. Some precious little economically anxious white wingers thought that maybe that was the real conspiracy. ABC canceled Roseanne because of her criticism of George Soros as the Nazi-loving sellout he is, not because of her crude criticism of Valerie Jarrett. Again, not racist. Not racist. Oh, thank you very kindly, Tracy. That would wipe things out. And Tracy says, in honor of Roseanne and Greitens, I'm issuing a $30 kiss my black ass challenge. Well, okay, Tracy, thank you very, very much. So if that's the case, if Tracy's challenge gets met, she'll double the next $30 that comes in. Thanks to our buddy VT Blom over at Patreon. Ralph's challenge has been met. So that would finally wipe out May. Something I was hoping would have happened back like last Thursday, but my God, that would be wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, Tracy. Thank you so much. The 50 Shades of Greitens Roseanne Kiss My Black Ass Challenge is on the table, courtesy of Tracy, the lady cab driver. Thank you, Tracy. Thank you very, very much. Oh, what a world, what a world, what a world, what a world. Meanwhile, we've got a handy new compendium, courtesy of Think Progress. I love this kind of stuff. This is a deep dive. These are all the euphemisms the media use to avoid calling Roseanne's tweets racist. Courtesy of Aaron Rupar over at Think Progress. The media's civility bias. The rap said she waded into racial waters. Fox News TV Radio Rwanda said she was engaged in offending with statements. The Washington Post, Jesus, really, you guys? The Washington Post said her statements were racially charged. Roseanne went on a vitriolic and racially charged Twitter rampage. Now she's apologizing. And since the Post led the way, then Deadline Hollywood followed up. Wanda Sykes says she's leaving Roseanne after Star's racially charged tweet. The Hill, also in D.C. Roseanne Barr apologizes for racially charged bad joke about Valerie Jarrett, says she's leaving Twitter. Politico, sitcom star Roseanne apologized for making a racially charged comment. What is it? Sparky's a master and a retired IBEW inside line man. He knows his electricity. I mean, how do you charge something with racism? I mean, is that another wire? I mean, is there like a red wire and a black wire, and then green is for ground, and then there's this white racism wire, and if you don't attach it to the ground wire, then you get 440 volts of racism into your tweet? Roseanne plugs her little phone charger up every night and, oh, dadgummit, it's been racially charged. Shit. The Associated Press said Roseanne Barr apologizes for a bad joke about Obama aides' looks and politics. Chicken Noodle News called it a bizarre Twitter rant. It was bizarre. It wasn't racist. It was bizarre. No. Bizarre, Chicken Noodle News money. Bizarre is if Roseanne had gone onto the Twitterverse and said, Valerie Jarrett has ears growing out of her rib cage, and I see paisley in the sky, and water tastes like buttermilk to me now. That's bizarre. Making an ape reference in regard to a person of color is just racist. I guess we have to... Yeah. But ultimately, ABC did the right thing. So now we will have a great Sturm und Drang from the White Wing crying out for some other entertainment outfit to pick up Roseanne. I didn't watch it. I never did. I confess. Apparently, it was really, really big with the maggot set. And, of course, when the whole thing got started, ABC pitched it by saying, well, you know, this show just reminds us that we've got a lot to learn from these people. We need to Listen to them. Have we listened to them enough? I mean, I realize this is a rhetorical question insofar as it's directed to the Horn Family Community Congregation, but really, have we listened to them enough now? How many times do we have to listen to them play the fucking Horst Wessel song on goddamn kazoos before we realize we're dealing with Nazis? And Klansmen and skinheads. And aiders and abettors and accessories before the fact. Has that day finally come? No, hell no. But this is gonorrhea Gaddafi catnip. This is going to be irresistible tonight to the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini. When he takes the stage somewhere in Tenistan this evening, there is no... not that I'm a betting man, because I'm not. But this is going to be absolutely irresistible to Comrade Kumquat. Maybe... Because the beginning of the end of the Republican campaign for Senate in Alabama was Colin Kaepernick. Remember? It was at an alleged rally for Big Luther Strange that geezer Disgustus called Colin Kaepernick a son of a bitch.
He's a son of a bitch.
Remember that? And you know he can't stay on script. This is the same reason that he can't be interviewed by Robert Mueller in his investigation, because even his lawyers know that he's a pathological liar who cannot tell the truth. Will not tell the truth. Which reminds me of something that was published, what, yesterday, the day before, over at the New York Times by the woman who helped bring us Donald Trump, Maggie Haberman. Gosh, remember those heady days of those stories from Maggie Haberman breathlessly shrieking, "But her emails! What about the server, Benghazi?" Remember that? Sure, I do too. Well, Maggie said something, and citing, you know, her sources inside the White House that, well, no matter how many times you say that Donald Trump lied, you can never be sure of his intent. This is, I guess, was in the way of setting up his defense. And cited one particular, you know, some anonymous in interior source in the White House as saying, every time he says something, even if it's not true, he believes it is. Hey, wait, what? So that's a source inside the White House saying, yeah, we know he lies. But when he lies, he believes it. And we know there are such phenomena. It is possible, if you are enough of a psychopath or a sociopath, I've read, that they can hook you up to a polygraph machine, which is notoriously unreliable in the first place. That's why it's not allowed as evidence in a court of law. Wow, he failed the lie detector test. You can't do that in court, because they're subject to abuse, the nature of the questioning, that kind of stuff. But there are people who can take a polygraph test, and if you ask them, you know, let's say it's Jack Smith who's taking the polygraph exam, and you say to Jack, the operator of the polygraph, the examiner says, "Is your name Epaminondas McGillicuddy?" And Jack Smith will go, "Yep." And beep, No movement. It's possible Donald Trump may be that way. But here's the thing. If he lies, and everyone knows he's lying, but he earnestly believes what he's saying to be the truth, that's worse than him just being a serial liar. That means that he is dangerously mentally ill and should therefore be removed from office by operation of the 25th Amendment. Where's melanoma? No, I want to give her a little red toboggan to wear, and so we can just finish the game. Well, maybe she'll be around, say, a month from now. Although, interestingly, briefly, on her own Twitter account, her location changed from D.C. to New York. How about that? I'm standing by my own theory. I think the news out of New York Magazine suggesting that Elliot Broidy took the fall for her for Donald Trump impregnating yet another bunny, and in that case paying off $1.3 million so that she could abort the little baby bunny. Well, that may have just been a little too much for melanoma. Which is interesting because it would finally establish a standard of what Trumpian conduct would be too much for her, because engaging in the racism birther scam wasn't too much for her. Oh, by the way, mentioning Alex Jones inviting Roseanne onto his program, Sister Carol points out, where was Alex Jones when the stuff with Kathy Griffin went down? She was visited over a cheap, bad comic stunt. She was visited by the FBI, put on the terror watch list, threatened with prison, and all over a tweet of her holding the bloody head of Donald Trump, a mannequin. And it was actually kind of funny. The White Wing called for Kathy Griffin to be imprisoned for her joke, but Roseanne can call a black woman an ape. And hey, it's cool. By the way, Sister Carol adds, Kathy Griffin couldn't work in her own country for a fucking year. I know. I-O-K-I-Y-A-T. It's okay if you're a Trump. Or a Trumpansy, or I-O-K-I-Y-A-M. It's okay if you're a maggot, or I-O-K-I-Y-A-W. It's okay if you are white. Keeping his thumb on the pulse of the entertainment industry, Brother Deacon Asa says, this is just a move by ABC to appease the momentary outrage. Remember how quickly TOC reinstated the Duggars, TLC, reinstated the Duggars after the incest scandal? Signed, Brother Deacon Asa, Little Ray of Fucking Sunshine. Wouldn't surprise me. Because, outrage. Note coming in from Darlene in Connecticut. Things that make you go, again. Amazing how these right-wing freaks never bother to stop and look at their own reflections in the mirror before commenting on the appearances of others. Wayne Arrowroot, it's very white, Arrowroot, said some awful things about Robert Mueller, and Root Rot looks like a moldy cucumber. As for Roseanne, there are times when I thought she could look attractive, but she is no Valerie Jarrett, who I think is a very attractive woman. She is. I guess when you can't argue things on the merits, you resort to the ad hominem attacks, the deterioration of discourse in Merca. The greatest country in the history of the world on earth now, today, in the universe, forever, under God. Hadn't done one of those in a while. Thank you for the opportunity, Darlene. Obligatory Star Trek reference. Thank you, courtesy of Lee. Since Mark Leonard was in Planet of the Apes and was also Spock's father, does that mean that Valerie Jarrett and Leonard Nimoy are related? Oh, she could only be so lucky. Lee adds, racially charged is when the white wires and black wires are connected. Zap! Mm-hmm. Flavio, meantime, says, I'm supposed to feel sorry for the people that lost their jobs on Roseanne's account. My mom taught me you lie down with dogs, you wake up with fleas. That's like asking me to feel sorry for people that went to work for Trump. I don't feel sorry for Omarosa. I don't care how low she whispers or tears up on TV. They knew what Roseanne and Trump were about. It's not like Roseanne and Trump are like X or Y in algebra. They'll be welcomed with open arms over at Fox if they're so inclined. Yes, they will be. Or maybe ABC will say, well, you know, she's apologized profusely, and gosh, we've... No. The fact of the matter is the business about the crew... They're probably union, which means their union will look after them, whether it's IBEW or any of the other craft unions that work in and around television and movie production. They'll find other work. I think everybody's going to land on their feet. And you know what? We can care about those people, shame on me. We can care about the other cast and crew, but in the final analysis, Roseanne Barr, who was carrying the program, did not care about the cast and crew. Roseanne Barr cared about being a white-wing maggot and put her production, for which she was making good money, at hazard by engaging in racism. I don't know why this is so godforsaken complicated. Larry, referring back to Ted Pantslode Nugent. You know, decades ago, before he was so outspoken of his ignorance, I could just tell by my gut as a kid that Ted Nugent was a douchebag. I wasn't sure why, but of course I've now long since known. By the way, he wasn't that great on the guitar. What did he ever do besides Cat Scratch Fever and Stranglehold? Wasn't the Amboy Dukes Journey to the Center of Your Mind, wasn't that a little bit of a hit? Yeah, they were okay, middle-of-the-road tunes in the 70s, but in reality, he wasn't really worth a shit compared to the other talent of that day that was in abundance. I beat you to it. 1968, Journey to the Center of Your Mind. He was a D+, C- at best, music-wise, as a talent for his time. Then again, and going back to the cast and crew issue, Brother Deacon Asa says, big effing deal. What were the cast and crew doing before the Roseanne reset 6 months ago? Working on a different show. Just like they'll be working on a different show day after tomorrow. So while I am sympathetic to labor, and I am a deep believer in the rights of working people, and in the needs of working people, in this particular instance, this is probably misplaced. I saw where radio guy Chris from the, or formerly, I guess, the Stephanie Miller show said, you know, you can't call yourself a progressive if you say F those cast and crew. And I think that's painting with just a little bit too broad a brush. It's TV. this thing, you know, Roseanne's program took off largely as a function of PR. Because it was a big deal, because, you know, we have a lot to learn from these people. We need to listen to the disaffected, brokenhearted, economically anxious white folks. It was all image. There wasn't much substance there. And she might have run for a season or two seasons. I had a note from Ron in Raleigh the other day. One of the programs that I enjoy watching, The Expanse over on Sci-Fi, which I think is extremely well made. It just got axed. And it was three seasons in. Had a really good story arc going. And what about the cast and crew of that program who didn't send any racist tweets? Right? It's Hollywood. There aren't many opportunities to just work for an entire career on one program. So, you know, perspective. Just perspective, please. You know, I was babbling along the other day, and I said something about, you know, Emery and Marveline and I said, yeah, but not that Shepard Smith. He's got to go. Well, bless his heart, Shepard Smith was one of the ones who said, this was racist. Roseanne, that was racist. And, of course, they're losing their tiny minds because Shepard Smith did that. Shepard Smith's job at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda is to be a lightning rod and every now and then speak something that's about, you know, 40-proof truth. Just to make sure that the viewers are awake for when the bullshit part of the schedule really fires up. Ron and Raleigh, whom I spoke of a moment ago, said, wondering where Melanoma is? I believe she's now sharing a pit with Rush Limbaugh's wife. They put the lotion on each other's skin. And Ron went exactly where I did. P.S. If they canceled The Expanse, I say, fuck Roseanne. Not even with yours, Ron. And then, alongside Kathy Griffin, Steve from Georgistan, all-around great guy, said, Brother Bob, Karen wanted me to mention to you, do you remember how the Dixie Chicks were demonized simply because they stated they were not proud to be from Texas? Yeah, I do. Moreover, they said they were not proud that Bush was from Texas. Oh, goddamn, you run them up, get them before the... Yeah. Oh, some good news. Maybe Ron already knows this. There will be a season 4 of The Expanse. It's been picked up by Amazon, according to Robert in Australia. That is good news. But I should note that there are other things going on in the world today. However, before we go to those other things, I must note that After a considerable absence from at least this program, there's been a Herb Cain sighting. Remember old 999 himself? Yes, I know his name's Herman Cain. Don't send me the correction emails. Mussolini... Caribou Barbie, Godzilla from Wasilla, Sarah Palin, once referred to him as Herb Cain, and it kind of stuck as far as I was concerned. So naturally, in the wake of the Roseanne's racism, Triple R, Roseanne's Racist Rant. One of the bookers over at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda immediately got on the blower to see if to find somebody to say something particularly right-wingy about the cancellation. And there he was, just itching for a little attention. Old 999. Yeah, Herb Cain.
This news just broke that ABC's done with Roseanne, based on her tweet that she sent out, in which she compared Valerie Jarrett to an ape. A pretty disgusting, despicable tweet. But this was also their highest performing show. So did they do what they needed to do in this situation with their big new star, Herman?
Roseanne apologized fervently. They canceled her anyway.
Wait, really? Fervently. Fervently, she apologized. I saw the tweet. It didn't say I fervently apologize. It was not accompanied by a video of her weeping and wailing and gnashing her teeth and rending her garments and sitting in sackcloth and ashes or anything. I don't know what it is. I don't know. Maybe Herb Cain has a secret fervent white racism decoder ring or something on his 999 belt, but it beats the hell out of me.
And I believe, Trish, since you brought this up, they were looking for a reason to cancel Roseanne.
Oh, sure, Herb, because they were making money. It's not like they were losing it. They were winning the ratings battle. That meant they could charge big money for the ads inside Roseanne's program. But, yeah, they were looking for a reason. You betcha.
And here's why.
Oh, tell.
Even though the show was a ratings success, I believe that forces within ABC didn't like the fact...
Wait, what kind of forces, Herb? Oh, if only he'd had a couple of more shots of old Overholt or old Panther, he might have said, "The Jews!" But darn it.
That her conservative defense of certain things was so popular and getting such ratings. I understand them using this as an excuse. Yes, it was racist. Yes, it was distasteful. And she vehemently apologized.
Well, as long as she vehemently apologized, what more is there to say? I mean, there's apologizing, and then there's fervently, vehemently apologizing. So, let's just go ahead and bring back Roseanne, shall we? I have a feeling vehemently is going to go onto the list alongside Calliope. Vehemently. Vehemily, vehemola, vehemily, ha 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 ha. No more singing. We're still working on that. Yeah, no more singing. Vehemily.
But for ABC
really
to cancel her.
I mean,
her,
it really, really stupid of her to tweet something
like that.
You know, ma'am, if you'd left off the of her part, you would have had a perfect segment. Because it would have referred to Herb the Himmely Cain. The forces within ABC. The Illuminati? The Bohemian Grove? The Rosicrucians? Jehovah's Witnesses? You got me. Our old buddy Reverbo... says, well, TV stars and shows come and go, but all I know is, if you haven't been watching Schitt's Creek, S-C-H-I-T-T apostrophe S, Creek, with Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara, You're Only Living Half a Life. Tell me more, Reverbo. What am I missing? That sounds the kind of laugh I need about, 11 o'clock at night or so. Or are you just being clever? Because, you know, you're kind of known for that too, Reverbo. Schitt's Creek with Eugene Levy and Catherine. Because, see, that's believable. That's a thing that could be real. And Eugene Levy and, well, my. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Tracy, author of the Kiss My Black Ass Challenge this evening, just sent me a simple statement. Herman Cain equals Uncle Tom. Mm-hmm. Yes, it will, Sister Carol Baker. Carol knows the word list. It'll go right up there with the Halcon Days. The Halcon days, and Steve in New York says, I remember when we used to gather around and listen to Grandpa play the Calliope so vehemently. Oh, what, Steve, are you and Carol, what, are you on the phone together or something right now? We used to gather around and listen to Grandpa play the Calliope vehemently. Oh, those Halcon days. You know, I'll just, listen, let's just get you two on the line, and I'll close my microphone and take the, oh, that was good. Oh, wait a minute. Yes, big ring of the cowbell. Absolutely. A note coming in from Quaker Todd, who used to be Barbecue Todd, who started out as Good Todd, back when we had a Cranky Todd. Quaker Todd says, please tell Tracy thanks for the challenge. I PayPal'd a few bucks. I need to get some things off my monkey chest, says Quaker Todd. And I can proudly announce that, yes, the challenges have been met. Thank you to Alex, and thank you to Quaker Todd. Tracy's challenge has been met, and glory, we're finally done with the month of May. A couple of days behind schedule, but we're done. So that means no more fundraising for the rest of the program, and that's two more hours. No more fundraising tomorrow, and no more fundraising on Thursday. Yes. Meanwhile, a note coming in from Silent R. Lamar. Herman Cain, Mr. Cain needs to meet some white cops on a dark road one day. Oh, that's cold, Silent R. That's really, really cold. Meanwhile, hung like Jesus says, nope, sorry, I can't. Even though I'm reading you, I can't. Because white guy. But there's another, but he's known as Herman, let's say Loon. He's known as Herman Loon around here. Larry, meanwhile, says, oh, come on, Bob. She gave an apology, and it was as sincere as Paul McCartney's to Uncle Albert. That was really sincere, if you know the song. I do. I do know the song. And by the way, Arnold mentioned earlier, Arnold has a long memory, apparently. ABC canceled the Muppets, so Roseanne is no loss. Wait. Mm-hmm. That's a long memory indeed. I mean, that's like Joseph Campbell power of myth stuff. Subject line, listen while you work. Courtesy of Matt in San Francisco. I'm guilty of listening as I work. Today is my office day, where I plan out my travel, sales figures, priorities, etc. I'm picking up that an obnoxious, rich, white woman said something racist on Twitter and her show got canceled. Perhaps I will send my two shits I can give to ABC. Two? You've got two? My, you know, My bag of fucks is so empty it has nothing in it but an echo. And really, there's other news, which we will hopefully get to in the coming hour. The coming fundraising-free hours of programming. Thank you all. Thank you, Alex. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very kindly, Quaker Todd. Oh, and now I have... Oh, goody. Thank you. Ask and it shall be given unto thee. Okay, so Agnes and I will be watching Schitt's Creek. Thank you, Ron and Raleigh. P.S. Ever eat at any Little Caesar's Pizza? Fuck Herman Cain. Not little. He was Godfather's, wasn't he? You know, another brand of gas station pizza. We had it over at the gas station over across the river till it flopped and got turned into a Subway. Not much of an improvement. Just different brand of gas station pizza. 999. Subject line, vegetarians. Matt says, we have more shots. It's a lifestyle choice. Okay, so let's see if, like I said, there's other stuff, and it's actually serious news we can get into after slaughtering an hour in the name of Roseanne. We will, but the phone lines are also line is also open. There's just several different ways to get at it. 304-574-8178 is the number. Toll free from anywhere in North America. 844-843-4676. 844-843-4676. 844 the horn. Hey, Sister Carol. Maybe jot that down for when you're outside the territorial confines of Los Estados Unidos. We'd love a call from that away. And of course, that also opens up telephonic communication to our friends in far frozen Canada. And then, of course, from anywhere on the planet, there's always Skype. Bob Kincaid Horn. BobKincaidHorn. Well, apparently I've stirred up a vile memory for Larry. Oh, my fucking God, we had a Godfather's Pizza here for a decade in the 80s before it was shut down, and their pizza sucked. It was pure dough and gross traces of sauce. I thought I was the only one that gas station in the middle of the Mojave Desert pizza. Oddly enough, that Godfather's Pizza became a Little Caesar's right afterwards. So maybe there's a connection with that and what Ron and Raleigh mentioned. So we'll take our top of the hour break for this Titanic Tuesday, and then we'll see where the program took us. He said took us. And thanks for the bumper idea there. Definitely. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
We're so sorry, Uncle Albert. We're so sorry if we caused you any pain. We're so sorry, Uncle Albert. But there's no one left at home. Sorry, but we haven't heard a thing all day. We're so sorry, Uncle Albert. But if anything should happen, we'll be sure to give a ring. Thank you.
Did you ever wonder if that was one of those McCartney songs that he had about six different songs that he couldn't finish and just sort of mishmashed them all together because that... But, yes, thank you, Larry, for the suggestion there. That was very helpful. It is Titanic Tuesday on the Horn for the 29th day of May, 2018, and we've got Quaker Todd on the line. Hey, Todd.
Bob, man, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Oh, I'm hanging in here. I'm not that shocked by what Roseanne said. Cause that's
no, really shocked is the one thing I ain't.
Yeah. You know, we remember when she started out. She, you know, she was like trailer trash, and she got, you know, she was kind of funny, I guess. That's what she is. See? And if I'm sounding crude and vulgar, you know, I'm a little bit pissed the fuck off, honestly. I've just about had it, and the reason I say that, this is a convergence of too many things going on right now. You know, last week with this NFL decision coming out the same day that tape of Sterling Brown being tased, that shit is fucking unacceptable.
Yeah, and shame on me for not. In my defense, Todd, I'll say that it's a very visual thing, and people should see the video of it. It's inexcusable, it's nasty, and somehow or another, it got some attention, but not half of the attention that it deserved.
No. And the more I've looked at that, I looked at it enough, but, you know, when one looks at that video. I put it like this. We're talking about a parking violation. Okay. And I don't know. I'm not going to waste a lot of time on this. But the point of the matter is that, yes, he was in the wrong Sterling Brown parked in the wrong place in front of Walgreens with nobody else in the parking lot. Fine. That's a ticket. You know, like the TPA in Philly, they're notorious. They hide behind, literally, they hide behind bushes and wait and put a ticket on your car. But so what? You got a ticket. So that's an officer writing a ticket. But you know what? This is the law, and I know this for a goddamn fact. Once they put that fucking ticket under your windshield wiper, it's done. That cop's job is
Well, there's
done.
there's nothing out there in the penal code of Wisconsin, I'm guessing, that says that inappropriate parking is to be summarily punished by a tasing. I mean, I feel 100% certain on that.
I have to agree with you. And Sterling was walking toward his car. He's like, and I can empathize with him. You walk out. He's like, okay, cops around my car. You can see a ticket on your car. Okay. It's easy to see. He saw the ticket. So he said, okay, you wrote me the ticket. He's going to get in his car. Fine. You wrote me the ticket. Okay. That's it.
Then wait, you mean he didn't throw a conniption and hold the ticket up in the air and tear it into a million tiny pieces and throw it in the face of the cop? He didn't do that?
Man, that dude was trying to get in his car like he was going to get in bed and go to sleep for the night. He just looked at him and said, okay, tried to get the ticket, but the cop got in his face.
But what was there left to get in his face about, Todd?
Well, this is because something's wrong with that guy, the cop, because this is what I don't get. Now, everything that an average person might say, average American, middle America might say, well, he probably thought it was a drug deal. It probably was a flashy car because he was an NBA.
He had his hands in his pockets.
It was a plain old Lexus. It didn't, no tinted windows. It wasn't tricked out. You know, so you can't say that. Anyway, so what? So what? But what I'm saying is that, and then they call, you see how many cops they call for that shit?
Oh, yeah.
See, we got a real fucking problem here. Then on top of this Roseanne shit, and they wonder why black people are irritated. Well, people, period. Because people of good minds right now are looking around and had enough. For instance, that incident at the Starbucks in Philadelphia. The patrons knew that shit wasn't correct. They knew that shit wasn't right. They were like, what are you doing? You know, they were saying to the cops, no, they're not causing any trouble. What are you doing? But, you know, police, once you call the police, that's why black folks don't like to call the police. Because once you call the police, they want to lock somebody up.
Well, once you call the police, they're going to do police things, which occasionally includes getting killed.
So, I don't know this maniac, this orange fascist has just unleashed holy hell. On not just the country, but the world. And it's really a damn shame. It really is. And I don't think that most white folks are being honest with themselves. Like Washington Journal, you know, it was lively this morning, let me tell you.
Oh, I can. But that's even before the tweet, right?
Oh, yeah. It basically had to do with what happened with the Starbucks, with the MSNBC thing going on tonight. You know, I'm talking about, well, you know, what do you think is going on?
Yeah.
So it has to do with that. But my point is that, you know, like I have plenty of white friends. I mean, friends that I can go to that, you know, we had dinner together, you know, kids play, all that kind of stuff, you know, real friends. And they know, they tell me, and we talk. So there, you cannot convince me. And just like you, you've been honest about people in your family. You got people. How are these fuckers saying we don't have a race problem? You motherfuckers know when you are at Thanksgiving, Christmas, whatever, you hear your relatives talk shit. You know, racist shit. So don't act like we don't have a fucking problem. We got a goddamn problem. And the more people deny it, and like this morning on our Washington Journal, people were saying a lot. If you don't talk about it, it won't. No, you have to talk about it because this is a disease. This
But time out even on that, Todd. Were you listening? And I'm not, you know, I'm not calling you out or anything. Last night in conversation with Matt up in Humboldt, I played the audio of the guy losing his shit in Jack in the Box in Houston because he heard somebody with a Spanish accent. Or a Hispanic accent. Hey, better get you a bus ticket back to Mexico, girlie. Well, I'm not kidding when I say that there's practically one of those a day. I mean, I got another one sitting here. I mean, and this is just twisted as hell. This comes out of Sparky's neck of the woods. A guy named Jonathan McConkie and a person named Kelly Hoser, his assistant, he runs a flight school. They've been charged with kidnapping because they detained and threatened to deport a Chinese student. And lo and behold, there was a recording. McConkie can be heard saying, "You're in my fucking custody right now. Do you know what that means? I will forcibly remove your ass from here. Your ass is leaving now. Let's fucking go. Hey, listen to me. I got your fucking passport. You're leaving now. I'll break your fucking arm. You better believe I'm fucking threatening you. The United States government needs you out of this country right now. Do you understand?" And then when the Chinese student didn't cooperate, the guy started beating him. The police report says that McConkie battered him and threatened physical violence if he did not go with them. The student ultimately left them in fear for his safety and was transported to the Reading Municipal Airport to be sent back to China.
It's Northern California.
Yeah, and only because, you know, that's state of Jefferson country. That's up there where they want to secede from them liberal commie pinkos down in the rest of California, because we're not getting represented up here.
Oh, that's where Oregon and California kind of want to do their own thing together, right?
Yeah, yeah. The Cleat Eye of the world unite. You have nothing to lose but your snuff. The only reason the kid's still alive is because somehow or another, a message got through to his brother, who was all the way in China, who then got on the phone and called law enforcement in the United States, who showed up and busted McConkie and Hoser. But like I said, Hispanic, Asian, Black, gay, lesbian, trans, there's one of these a day. I mean, somehow or another, last week, we missed a mass shooting.
Oh, in Indiana?
No, in Oklahoma.
Oh, God. I thought you meant the school. Okay.
No, there was a different one.
Oh, God.
Because there's so... you can get lost in them. And that's not excuse-making on my part. It's just the reality of what it is. No, there was a mass shooting in Oklahoma.
Where?
An Oklahoma City restaurant last week. He wounded 4 people. Maybe it's because he wasn't successful, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, insofar as there were no dead bodies, just wounded ones. Louis Restaurant, Oklahoma City's Lake Hefner area, last Thursday night. And a good guy with a gun stopped it. I mean, you know, I'll say it when it, you know. A bystander with a pistol confronted the shooter outside the restaurant and fatally shot him. Okay. Well, here's the thing. The original news story says police are trying to sort out a motive. Well, according to an Oklahoma alternative paper called The Gailey, which serves the queer and trans community in Oklahoma, they said they had communicated and contacted the police all the way back in January about the shooter, a guy named Andrew Tillman, because he'd been flyering all over Oklahoma City, putting up anti-trans propaganda. Then in May, the FBI got a tip about Tillman because he put up anti-trans rants on YouTube. Nothing. Nothing.
That doesn't make any sense.
When the Gailey reached out to the Oklahoma City PD, the Oklahoma City PD said, this guy needs to be on our radar. I think they've been pulled down since, but okay, I mean, and it's Oklahoma, so you can't go and take away his guns because freedom. But he posted videos, among other things, saying that all people, including transgender individuals, are robots.
What?
Yeah, they're robots, and he put up videos saying, I'm being taunted by demons and I'm losing my mind. In one of his videos, there's a quote, yeah, I'm definitely losing it, I really can't go on, I really need some help, please.
Wait a minute, so why couldn't they take his firearm? He's crazy.
Oh, because freedom.
The fuck that shit, no.
No, because, honest to God, because the National Rifle Association is the, I don't just say things, Todd, it is the most powerful, wealthiest terrorist organization in the United States, and the NRA scares politicians more than any other group. So here's a guy who's then there's YouTube, who I guess there's just too much content for the algorithms to keep up with. But if somebody puts up something that says, I really need help, I'm losing it,
he's reaching out.
That is literally a cry for help.
You don't need to have a degree in psychology to see that. Goddamn.
But the police can't help because they can't go take his guns away. And YouTube is useless as a screen door on a submarine. They didn't alert anybody. And then operating on the if you see something, say something theory, the Gailey reached out. This guy needs to be on our radar. Boop! And then off the radar. That was January. You know, you can just... There's just so many people wandering around Oklahoma City posting anti-trans flyers and talking about everybody's robots that you can't possibly be expected to keep track of all of them now, Todd. How can they?
Man, no. That demands a welfare check. That you got to knock on the door and say, hey, you know, just come by to see how things are, you know. You know, with nobody, no uniform officers, but, you know, they're police, but they're just, you know, plain clothes. But anyway, that's pathetic. Well, our society...
But you know, the larger point is there is one of these a day, if not more. And so, you know, Roseanne comes along and it's like, well, it must be a day that ends in Y.
Oh, okay. Back to Roseanne, and then there's two more things I would like to ask you about. But back to Roseanne. Call them black folks or anybody of color or monkeys. Man, that's as old as they started doing that shit as soon as they figured out that they need to enslave black people. You know, when they had to, that goes back to basically when people went from being Italian, like Dr. O'Brien was saying, about the second hour. Like, you know, when people used to be Italian or Nigerian, you know, country of origin as opposed to their ethnicity. Because when they figured out they had to enslave black people, then they had to be less than human. Otherwise, we couldn't justify it.
Well, look, I played, and you've very conveniently opened a door for me to something that I wanted to make sure got into the program. You don't mind me just wandering around in our conversation, do you?
Me wander? You? What?
Yeah, who? Huh? A long time ago, I made an argument, and I stand by it, that when you hear
evangelicals and conservatives and, you know, Republicans, whatnot, arguing that there's no basis to the Darwin's theory of natural selection and evolution. What you're actually hearing is racism. And if you know the history of it, you know the church jumped in early back in England when Darwin published, saying that this was some sort of vile heresy and blasphemy, and you know, burn the witch.
Mm-hmm.
But it really comes to prominence in what's referred to as the Scopes Monkey Trial in, what was it, Dayton, Tennessee?
I know it was Tennessee, and I'm totally on the same page with you.
And of course, the play and the movie Inherit the Wind, and the confrontation between Clarence Darrow and William Jennings Bryan, and the publicity, you know, it captivated... In a time when telegraphs were necessary in order to transmit the news, the attention of the nation was riveted on that little courthouse in Tennessee.
That's a good movie, by the way.
Oh, Spencer Tracy. And who plays William Jennings Bryan? I can't remember. But, yeah, it's brilliant. But the thing is, the Tennessee... legislature had passed a law saying that it was illegal to teach evolution in the schools of Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And it was challenged. And Clarence Darrow carried the challenge forward. And they lost. Okay, that's most people don't realize they lost, but it was a terrible, terrible blow, because even though they lost the trial, they won the battle, at least temporarily. Because Clarence Darrow showed that it was nothing but a product of bigotry. But that was the Scopes Monkey Trial, and it's not an accident that it happens in a former slave state. And so just last week, by way of driving some of the members of the Horn Family Community Congregation quite out of their minds, I played Robin and Crystal Bernard on Jerry Falwell's program singing the Monkey Song.
I heard that shit. That fucking irked me.
See? I vexed you.
I remember, you know, I hadn't thought about that show, and I don't even think she was cute, you know, back then, but damn.
Well, and it's an earworm, too, and that it's still... I'm no kin to the monkey, no, no, no. The monkey's no kin to me, yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know about his ancestors, but mine didn't swing from a tree. Because what got all over these evangelicals, and it's not, it's and Protestants, and you know, and it was the Episcopalians, to everybody, what got all over them was the fact that Darwin said that the species arose in Africa.
I was going to ask you that. That's what this is about. Exactly.
Yeah, it's exactly what it's about. Yes. Yes.
We all came from, and it's funny you bring that up, because I was. You know how people think in the shower. I think a lot in the shower. And I was like, damn. I don't know what it is. I guess it's so obvious now.
And see, and alongside, they had a literalist interpretation of the Bible that gives, you and I would sit and say, well, you know, and again, there's the, once again, this is the only radio program in the United States that has referenced Joseph Campbell twice in within an hour. Joseph Campbell's Power of Myth, you know, we recognize what's going on in the book of Genesis as myth, and in some cases allegory. But in the Noah segment, there is an explanation, or at least so the white Christians have claimed, for why there are people of dark skin. Never mind the fact that the people who wrote the goddamn book had dark skin. But, you know, that's okay. We'll just call, breathe, Bob, breathe. And so, by the time you get to the American South in the antebellum phase, God placed the curse on Ham and darkened his skin so that everybody would know, and said that he was to serve everybody else. Okay, this is the kind of shit that my ancestor preached.
Uh-oh.
All right, I mean, I know this stuff. And it's preached right up to this day. I guarantee you.
And so they've got a biblical explanation for sin being the reason that people have dark skin, and it is at odds with the scientific explanation that we all originated in Africa and that humanity dispersed therefrom. Again, there's recent science that shows that white folks are of recent vintage, no older than 10,000 years. Well, so, it's a problem for them. But that's where it comes from. I mean, the essence that, you know, racism is baked into this country. And so if you will permit me, if you will bear with me for just a minute, I think you'll find this interesting. There's a new study out. And what researchers, one of whom is Salil Benegal, who's a political scientist at DePaul University, what researchers have found is that where climate change is concerned, there is a definitive link between racial resentment and climate denial. A link between racial prejudice and climate change denial. And I read that and went, I've hung on to the, when was this thing published? The story goes back 4 days, and I've been hanging on to it because I wanted to get this into the conversation. I know the white wing doesn't like to even acknowledge that racism exists, but there's very little that it doesn't touch. And it's behind a paywall and everything, but there's a peer-reviewed study published in the journal Environmental Politics. White Americans were less likely, Todd, to see climate change as a serious problem. And then they also note a link between racial resentment and climate change denial. That's not the same as saying all climate change deniers are racists, but rather that racial resentment drives some of the denial, and you can bet your ass that over at the American Petroleum Institute and all the other denial operations, they damned well know how to dog whistle.
But, see, that's because it's not science. And I would speculate, there's somebody's going to do a study on this, I guarantee you. The same cadre of folks, the same cohort. These are the same people that are intolerant of abortion and love their guns and love the death penalty.
It's a Venn diagram that's just all overlap.
Yep. I would bet money on that. I think that's a good bet. I think that's a very good bet. So it's really disgusting. And maybe this is why they've been defunded. They're still pissed off about that shit. And they've been pissed off. Just like you said, they're still pissed off about the New Deal. So that's why they've been defunding our education. And people have been dumbed down for the past 4 or 5 years if you've gone to public school or even if you've gone to one of these podunk Christian academies where you don't really get an education. And these kids don't find out they don't know shit till they go to college, unless they go to a Christian college. You know, it's fucked up, man. This shit is fucked up. We are fucked. You know how long it's going to take to dig out of this goddamn hole?
Well, I think you're being an optimist when you say when. Not that I'm trying to just bum people out again. Yeah. It's a hell of a lot more. It's a hell of a lot closer to if than when, as far as I'm concerned, Todd. And like I've said, and I'm going to kind of cling to it because I guess I'm kind of proud of the idea. If you want to dig out of this shit, we need to be having conversations with 10-year-olds. Because brother, our generation, we might get a few spadefuls of earth out of it, but no. And by the way, I saw something late last night.
and it broke my heart. Because I don't like being right about things that are awful.
Mm-mm.
But I remember last year when Maria or one of the other storms was blowing through, and I think it was when Miami was getting hit, and there were news reporters all over the place, and there was some little, one of those really, really skinny young women from one of the big networks, and, you know, one of the types that's, you know, so she's so thin she has to run around in the shower to get wet.
Mm-hmm.
And they had her standing in the middle of a street in Miami where the water was rising and she was getting blown sideways. I forget what exactly the circumstances were, but I was on air and I said, one of these days, because what I was talking about is, you know, that ain't news, okay? It is not news to put somebody at hazard standing in the middle of a goddamn hurricane telling us that there's a hurricane. It's the height. It is the height of journalistic irresponsibility to do that kind of shit.
No, you're right, because stuff is flying in the air. They got no hard hat on. I mean, literally, projectiles are everywhere. Right, right.
And so, you know, it's not even June, and June 1 marks the beginning of hurricane season, and we've already got our first named storm, Alberto. And
now you saw Ellicott City, right?
Well, there's the Ellicott City, the flooding, and that's bound to be related to climate change.
But, well, the only reason I brought that up, I'm not trying to cut you off, but that was last time. It happened last year, and they said, well, that's a once-in-a-thousand-year flood we had last year.
Right, and then the next year it happens again.
So but it's not a once-in-a-thousand-year.
Well, no, and you know, 500-year floods are 5-year floods now. Because this planet is undergoing a systemic change. But see, I just doomed that argument by using big words like planet and systemic.
Them sound like sex words to me.
God, we needed that. But so the news came in at 10:55 p.m. last night. And it made me sick. In Polk County, North Carolina, news anchor Mike McCormick and photojournalist Aaron Smeltzer of Greenville, South Carolina-based CNN affiliate WYFF were killed when a tree fell on their SUV as they covered the hazardous weather. God damn it.
Just what you said.
And so, you know, I don't know. Do they play bagpipes at journalist funerals?
No, they have the typewriter thing, like the newsroom.
Yeah, it's just a steady drone of teletype. I mean, I'm not being an asshole here.
No.
But you wasted the talents of two presumably talented young journalists by sending them out so that they could stand in the rain and tell viewers that it was goddamn raining.
You know what, Bob? You're onto something there. That is really irresponsible because we have professionals that do that. We have the storm chasers, and they have the right equipment, and they wear protective gear.
No, I love you, brother, but fuck a bunch of storm chasers, too. Jesus Christ, we've got radar. You can sit in a hardened goddamn bunker and see it happen on the radar scope, and you can put the radar on the television, and you can say, hey, dumbasses, hey, maggots all over South Carolina and North Carolina, it's fucking raining real hard. Don't go out in it.
You know what I'm saying? Hey, you didn't have to tell me it's been raining. Man, my God, it rained hard. It's been raining now. This is like Florida again. It's been torrential rain all the time here, all the time. But, you know, you got a point. And now we have, guess what? We have all these wonderful high-capacity, high-intensity cameras all over everywhere, the highways and everywhere. So we can see that without putting people at risk.
I'm simple, okay? When it's dead of winter and it's snowing outside and my inner dumbass is saying, let's go out and drive around in it, Bob. It's kind of, no, because I've got Agnes who looks at me and says, I will whip your ass. Okay? And fortunately, there's a highway cam on the New River Gorge Bridge.
Oh, that's great.
Now, I wish they would upgrade it to color, but, you know, I'm spoiled that way.
You can actually go online and you can look up the highway cam and you can watch the foot of snow pile up on the New River Gorge Bridge, 876 feet above the river, 3 feet short of the height of the Eiffel Tower, and you can see the semis crawling through it and getting blown 4 feet side to side as 60-mile-an-hour winds get funneled up the fucking gorge, okay? And then you sit back and you go, I'm glad I'm not in that. And you don't have to send the WOAY Action News Eyewitness Team Coverage Team car. It's a little piece of shit, it's not as big as a phone booth used to be. You don't have to send them out there. Well, Fred, it's definitely snowing out here. Oh shit! I'm flying into the gorge. No, that TV station has what's called workers' comp immunity, Todd. In other words, they can't be sued as long as the two dead journalists get their loss of life, as long as their estates are paid their workers' comp loss of life benefits. You can't sue the TV station, but the station needs sued. And to the extent that CNN wanted somebody to stand out in the goddamn storm, CNN needs sued. But I'm guessing they're probably protected against it. But
I remember Gabe Gutierrez 2 years ago. He got hit in the head. Something hit him in the head when he was out there with Holly Jackson for something. You're right. You're absolutely correct. Somebody got killed. You already said yesterday. That's true. I saw that in the paper. Yeah. Southwestern North Carolina, up out of Greenville. Yeah. That's unnecessary. It really is. And yeah.
Well, I mean, journalism's a dangerous job. Journalists go into war zones so that we can try to know, so that we've got a decent chance of knowing what humanity's doing to other humanities, or in the case of the United States, what's being done in our name. And it's dangerous as hell, and people get killed for it. Governments kill journalists. An investigative journalist who was known for his opposition to sweet, lovable, cuddly, huggable Vladimir Putin, was straight up murdered in front of his apartment in Kiev in the last 24 hours. Shot in the back.
Say what?
Yeah.
I missed that.
Yeah, it's real. But the thing is, it's dangerous enough without making it more so. His name was, you got to say their names. His name was Arkady Babchenko, and he was shot in the back in the Ukrainian capital of Kiev. And he was right at the entrance to his apartment. His wife called for an ambulance. She said she found him covered in blood. And police say they suspect the murder was due to Babchenko's professional activities. This guy was a veteran of the Chechen War. He didn't have nothing for Vladimir Putin. He bugged out of Russia. He ran from Russia because he didn't want to be another sweet, huggable, cuddly Vlad's victims. But he didn't get far enough. And being a journalist, he couldn't resist a story, so he started covering the secret dirty war that Russia is waging against Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's dead.
I remember. Yeah.
But the larger point, Todd, is that in a world where that's the everyday, ordinary danger that a journalist faces, you don't just waste them. You don't say, hey, go out and stand in the middle of the storm, that's the brakes, man. If a tree comes over on your SUV and crushes you and your cameraman, Well, that's the kind of heroic work you signed up for, isn't it, son? That's,
you know,
bullshit.
What? We don't have enough journalists to lose any, period. I mean, my God, we can't even pay them. We can't. First of all, we don't have any more investigative journalists. Too many. Number one. So anyway, your point is very well taken. It's terrible. That should be a whole show. Honestly, it's happening here. I mean, come on, we can't even get, people are denounced, derided, you know, for telling the truth. And then when you bring up history, going back to people being dumb the fuck down, I'm sick of these fucking, you know what we're dealing with now is rabble. That's what we're fucking dealing with. A loud minority of unwashed masses, the rabble. And I think we need to restrict voting, federal voting. I really do. I think we need to have a simple civics test to vote in a federal election. Because these motherfuckers are too goddamn stupid. They're too fucking stupid. If they can't connect the dots, if they don't know history well enough to see how Hitler started, first thing he did was denounce the press. That's the first thing he fucking did. One of them.
The lying, then, failed then media. Got, the failed, lying media.
Failed, lying media. Then he has Bannon, his Goebbels. You know, he's in the White House, then he's out. So he's like, I'm not really with Bannon anymore. But that's still his guy, only under the guise of being out of the White House. You know, this is fucking bullshit. And then when you bring that shit up, people are like, oh, you can't bring up Hitler. You can't talk about that. Why the fuck not? That's fucking history.
If it steps like a goose and it honks like a goose.
It's a goose. And speaking of you being right, I don't know if you have ever been surfing before. Have you ever surfed?
Sadly, no.
Okay.
If I went out on a surfboard, by the time I got into shore, I would be bacon.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, pink lives matter, and they don't do well on the surfboard.
Pink,
okay.
Wait, yes. Pink lives matter.
But the reason I brought that up, the surfing and Pelosi, they go together. You're absolutely correct. And I wish that more people would just shut the fuck up about this. They don't understand the strategy. And Nancy Pelosi would not be... Now, I don't agree with her all the time at all, because I think she's too corporate. However, she is a very effective and powerful politician. She's a politician. She knows how to get that shit done, like you said. And the reason it relates to surfing is that when you surf, you see... The waves come in cycles.
Sure.
And you got to wait for the right one. And you might think it's the right one, and it's not. And it takes some acumen. You have to do it a little while to figure out what's happening. And then you can tell because the water, especially on the West Coast, because it's cold as shit. The Pacific is cold. East Coast, you know, in the summertime, it's warm out here. But anyway, you can feel the water, the temperature changes. So you have to know when to catch the wave. So what Nancy is saying is that just shut the fuck up. You know, he's going to hang himself, and then it will be undeniable, and then we jump on it. Don't talk about it now, because these GOPers are already too wound up. You know, they're already pissed. No matter what we do, they get offended. You know, and they live in a world of irony. Your favorite word, they live in a world of irony. You think about this religious freedom shit. They want religious freedom as long as they put their religion on everybody else. But
they want theirs, not anybody else's.
Did you hear Pompeo got the fucking nerve to be talking about religious tolerance or some shit?
Oh, and blathering on about the Rohingya in Myanmar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the people that share his religious views would shoot him on sight.
It's disgusting. It really is. It really is disgusting. And then, you know, honestly, back to this law enforcement thing, you see, it's going to be an ugly summer, because now we have the chief law enforcement officer is, that cracker ain't worth, listen, he's not worth the cracker he's written on. You know what I'm saying? This guy is a unconvicted perjurer. And look, I drink a lot. I love to drink, but I'm not an alcoholic. That motherfucker's in between drunks every fucking in a liquor bottle.
How do you mean? I mean, you know, expand on that.
Okay. he had to show up for his hearing when he was in his job interview, be in front of Congress. Man, he was up all night drinking. He started sweating and shit. Come on, you can't hide that. That's clear. As anybody who's around people, you know what that shit looks like, especially if you're pale. His cheeks are all rosy. He's a stone-ass alcoholic. And he has bad. It's not just that. So what? He drinks.
You'd like to have a nose like that full of nickels, wouldn't you? Yeah.
So this is the person we have to depend on with all these corrupt-ass police who feel unleashed. They can do whatever the hell they want because they feel like the administration has their back. And Jeff Sessions has already said, well, we don't need any more of this federal oversight, even though corruption is rampant. You know, we got Newark, Philly, Baltimore, New York, L.A. You know, every year there's another scandal. And he's talking about relaxing restrictions. That's bullshit. That makes no sense to me at all. He doesn't, you know, and this shit about snatching children away from their mothers and you lose 1,500 children in the mix of all this sex trafficking. Are you fucking kidding me?
And you know, to be fair, the 1,500 missing kids is different from the kids being ripped from their mother's arms. They're separate issues.
They are separate.
And there's some nuance to the 1,500 missing kids argument. Folks can go and look it up. I tried to explain some of it. But that nuance is going to disappear now that we've got a memorandum of understanding between the Office of Refugee Resettlement and ICE so that ORR can now drop the dime on kids. But the one thing you cannot emphasize enough, especially in a nation as far down the drain as we are, is that we're not talking about, again, like I said last night, we're not talking about garden variety kids who are being brought across the border because their parents want to enter the country so they can take all those jobs that white people so desperately want, swabbing toilets and picking lettuce. We're talking about people seeking political asylum, and they are an entirely separate legal class. And it is these asylum seekers who are having their babies ripped from their arms. It is asylum seekers who were lost. Although they are parallel, they share commonalities.
That makes it worse because the 1,500 young people that are missing, some of them are young, some of them are not so young. I understand that.
And some of them are not contacting government because they don't want ICE to show up on their doorstep and put them in fucking kiddie prison.
Have you seen these, like you described? I'm going to tell you, these people who go into that line of work, they got a fucking problem coming in there. It's like these COs, these
loser thugs.
Loser thug. That's right. They can't wait to get in there and beat some brown ass. That's all they want to fucking do. And it's terrible. But they, you know, and they don't read. Who wants to do that? Only a certain type of person wants to do that. It's disgusting. It is really, really disgusting. So.
Yeah, the only thing we haven't done is give them the spiffy uniforms. But you wouldn't want to be done up all in Hugo Boss black down on the Texas Mexico border either. It's bad enough being down there in green.
Man,
eventually we'll figure out a way to put ICE we'll figure out a way to put the Border Patrol in like Kevlar Speedos or something. Because it's hot.
You know something. I don't. Maybe I'm not getting this, but for some reason, I understand it. When people come over the border with no papers, I get okay. You're here illegally, but you know, for some reason, it really doesn't bother me. I'm like, if you want to come here that bad, you really must want to be here.
If you want to come here that bad, it's A, got to be really bad where you are, and B, you haven't heard how goddamn bad it is here.
They're running into the fire, and they don't even know it. God damn, we don't even want to be here.
Yeah, it sure does suck here in the frying pan. Let's jump in the fire and see if it's any better.
It's not funny. It's so sad.
No, it's pathetic.
But this this up. And
even if you're like, we'll stop in the United States long enough to maybe make enough money to get to Canada. I hear they're not assholes in Canada.
No, and they can work as pickers for a dispensary. You know, they can be plant trimmers or something. Because Canada has this shit together. You heard on NPR, they were talking about that on the business segment. So Canadian cultivators, they can be on our stock market because their laws are freed up. They can use the banks and everything. Whereas, you know, we don't have that advantage. And then we probably won't for a while because of Beauregard. Because he can't stand that goddamn marijuana.
You know, that reminds me, Asa asked me to ask you a question a little bit ago.
Mm-hmm.
Could you please ask Quaker Todd if he has seen Chappelle's Clayton Bigsby, the black white supremacist?
Hell fucking yeah!
I think he was kind of... He got the idea to ask you based on that beautiful little voice.
You mean the one I use when I go get my hair cut?
Yeah, that's the one.
I don't see you down there to the barbershop, Bob. Yeah, and I seen you with your fancy store bought clothes.
That's right, store bought dudge.
Well,
that's my Friday go to barbershopping outfit.
You know what, man? The Chappelle Show, the original one, that wasn't shit. And I was thinking about him the other day. Yeah, I understand what you mean now with Clayton Bisbee. Dave Chappelle was just crazy. But he had another skit around the same time. And then I'm gonna let you go because I think my phone might die. He had a skit. This was when the internet was really getting the Halcyon days.
The Halcyon days of as we sat and listened to the Calliope.
Crack me over this shit.
Emily?
Yeah.
The Emily?
So he was like, what if the internet was like real life? You know, so he was wandering in and out of porno sites and like people selling cheap goods. And when he finally gets through it, he's like all dirty and like he's gotten rolled and shit. You know what I mean? Like somebody tried to rob him. He's like, damn, the internet's a motherfucker. But I'm not describing it properly, but you can see it. It's out there. But he, you know.
I'll have to look it up. I think I've seen it. Yeah.
Yeah, he's funny. Well, anyway, so that's all, and that's all I got to say. Nothing around here but rain and climate change, and I don't know what the fuck we're going to do, man. This guy is. I didn't think he would. I knew he was crazy. I knew he was a sociopath. But you see.
But that's the thing. Now he, you know, it was, I guess it was kind of cute. I never watched the program. It was cute when he was a sociopath on The Apprentice. But now, he's an empowered sociopath with the vast might of the entire executive branch of the United States government and the collusive power of the legislative branch and the coercive power of the judicial branch. That makes for a monster, Todd.
Sounds like the perfect storm, doesn't it?
Well, it does. This is how to fuck up a halfway decent country 101.
And by the way,
when I say halfway decent country, I mean that as a white guy. Everybody else, it's a lot less than halfway decent. And I acknowledge that.
I mean, the tone and tenor, and people of our age, we know it was. It's always been much better than it is now, and it's sad. I mean, it's sad that this minority of people is so loud and so ignorant. And why the fuck can't the journalists say racist? It's goddamn racist. That bitch. That fucking.
Well, you know that's a judgment, and we don't want to be. You know, we're journalists, and we have to be objectively objective, and that would be making a judgment to say that it's racist. Now, to be fair,
so when they light it, when you tell people they can't light a cross, you say, "Well, we were just trying to have a campfire." What the fuck?
We're just Christians. We wanted to light the... It's dark, and we wanted to be able to see the cross, man.
See, this is part of the fucking problem. People got to start telling the truth. Because you know me, I listen to Jeff Brent. I listen to Storm... Billy Storm and all that shit. These motherfuckers knew exactly what was going to happen. They were on board. So all this bullshit that you hear these people say, well, they just too sensitive. And that's another thing that's going on that pisses me the fuck off. People who are in power, the majority, you can't tell someone when someone else is being offended. You can't step on my fucking head and tell me it doesn't hurt. Say, well, no, this is a sneaker. I don't have a boot on. It can't possibly be hurting you. Motherfucker, back up.
No, that's like the guy that gets popped for domestic violence and says, well, officer, I never hit her with my closed fist. That's not me being sarcastic or a smart ass. That's been said.
No, I know, right? Come on. That shit, you know, people, I don't know, man. Look, this is the South. There's a lot of shit that has not changed around here. I see all kinds of crazy shit. I'm going to tell you, man, there's a lot of black folks around here. You would think Reconstruction was still going on. In these little towns, I'm telling you, it's frightening. And the way they graduate these people and they can't fucking speak English.
Yeah.
This, that, these, and those, oh, my God. I wouldn't graduate a motherfucker if they couldn't talk. I don't care how you talk on the corner. That's your fucking business. But when you're in school, you better fucking speak the King's English.
Well, you know, or at least Walter Cronkite's English.
Well, that's better. Than...
Yeah, Walter who?
God. Well, hey, man, keep up the good work, and, and Tracy, if you're listening, I wonder what your grill was up to.
Hey,
I want to hear about your grill.
Yeah, she sent a note along, and I didn't know this, but she said, I'm surprised that the Trumpanzees haven't started the conspiracy that the reason why Roseanne was canceled was because ABC's president Channing Dungey is a black woman. # badass black woman. And my only response to Tracy was, give them time. They got a lot on their plate. They got a lot of racism to work through. They got a lot of paranoia to march through. Now, I was talking with Tracy maybe last week sometime and said, unpaid product placement. They're located on Sea Island, Georgia. So you know, there's probably more than a few of you know those people. Racists or whatever, work for them. I can't say that for sure, but...
The Geechee people, man. That's where the Geechee people are.
That's true, too. But Char Griller, I don't have any problem wholeheartedly recommending their product.
I have one.
It's
pretty damn good.
Wait, well, I mean, you haven't broken down and gotten the acorn yet, have you?
No. I don't. But a tree fell on my Char Griller. I had to hammer it out. But I'm gonna tell you, you know, you're working with something real when it has a cereal number on it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've never had more fun with a piece of outdoor cooking equipment than I'm having with this.
Well, look, I'm not barbecue tied anymore because of you. I mean, after
no, oh no, you can't.
See, I can't. How can I be barbecue tied? I'm back to Quaker tied now. I can't compete. The luster's gone.
The magic is out of the moment. Oh, you can't tell me that. You're breaking my heart, man.
Look, I got to learn how you.
And you're still within a short drive of Conecuh, so you can't bail on that.
A short drive? I'm walking distance, Negro. I can walk up there.
Damn, walking distance of Conecuh. Shit.
I'm serious. I'm turning people onto it. That's some dense ass heavy sauce. That ain't no joke. Like I said, if you were gonna make sauce, it would. That's how you would do it. You can see the ingredients.
See, I can tell you, I have advanced further in my fantasy world of Bob's Barbecue.
Uh-oh.
A buddy of mine recently sent me an awesome book of just living out in the country how-tos.
Mm-hmm.
And in it, there is a drop-dead awesome plan for a smokehouse. Not a big one, but I've sure got room enough for it.
Really?
Yo. And I've even got the ground they recommend for it, because they say that what you want to do is you want to build it on a slope.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to dig into the slope for laying the block for your smokehouse, and then your firebox is further down the slope so that you'll have the natural draw.
Oh.
And you know, make my own hickory smoke, my own sausage. Woo.
Oh, shit. Do you get enough wood that falls on your property?
No, but I can get it. I don't have a lot of. I don't have a lot. I've only got an acre, and it's not forested.
Okay.
But I could get my hands on pretty much all the hickory I need. But I got to tell you, you know, like I said, I gave myself a C on that turkey breast just because I was too stupid to realize I'd have to bone the damn thing. But just before airtime, Agnes fixed me the sandwich that I invented, and she did it far better than I.
Oh man!
Mayo, razor thin sliced smoked turkey, fresh off the breast, avocado, a little bit of onion, smoked Gouda. And a few thinly sliced pickled beets on toast.
I heard you talk about the sourdough, and that's the truth, man. Real foodies, you got to keep the sourdough. And let me say this, Borden, not, like you say, product placement, but honest to God, because Gouda is not super expensive, but it's not the cheapest cheese. But it's nothing. It's buttery. It's wonderful. So,
well, see, I can get packaged sliced smoky Gouda at Kroger, Kroger brand, not even over in the deli where it's expensive.
Oh, okay.
And the other thing, they got sliced Havarti, and that's gonna. I gotta have a sandwich made out of the Havarti.
Hell yeah!
But if I can thaw and then debone a turkey breast and still have all my fingers, and mm-hmm. then brine the deboned turkey breast in a spice mix. And then wrap it up in that bacon blanket.
Yeah.
Oh, it could get pretty religious. Hey, before you go, I hope your phone doesn't run out of juice or anything, but Geezer Disgustus has just come to the podium.
To do what?
In Nashville for his rally for...
For
Marsha.
You know that motherfucker is going to say, you see what they've done to Roseanne? Do you see? You see how they treat us?
Yeah, so stand by. Let's check in. Oh, the maggots are already cheering.
So joining us this evening are many of your wonderful Tennessee Republican leaders.
They came out
to
kiss his
hairy cheek.
Well,
this feels just like before our election. This is a big crowd of people. This is a lot of people. A lot of people. With bad weather and bad everything, and they're still coming in. We love you. We love you. Thank you.
You know how Donald Trump counts to 10? 1, 2, a lotta. Yeah.
Saying that we made certain promises, and I'm the only politician. Can you imagine the word politician? I never thought that was going to happen. I don't even like it. But I'm the only politician that produced more than I said I was going to produce, and we're only 1.5 years in.
More graft, more corruption. Yeah.
You know, but Bob, that's his thing. His maggot people say, well, he's not a politician. You see what I mean about that?
I know. I'm just waiting for the catnip to kick in.
I'm on the phone. I only got like 8%. But listen, back to the Gouda. I've noticed that, man, you get that sourdough, spread some butter on it, lightly toast it, put just a sprinkle of adobo,
ooh,
and then put the cheese on, and then
ooh,
toast it. Oh, shit.
Oh, the adobo, man. Oh, man. Yeah.
Not too much. You know, you don't want it too
no,
soft.
No, you can't be heavy-handed.
Can't be heavy-handed. I had to learn it the hard way. Less is more sometimes, you know? I mean, just lightly, so it mingles with the butter, you know, and then, you know, half toast it like that, then put the cheese on it, then really toast it till it bubbles a little bit, you know, and then slice it, let it cool, and I mean, as an accompaniment to whatever meal you're having, I've been serving this, people gobble that shit up, man, I can't.
Oh, no, no, yeah, you probably can't keep it on the table.
Can't keep it on the table.
Give me a little more of that adobe.
Yeah, that's the Hispanic season salt. I prefer it now to the Lowry's type salt. It's just got everything in it. But I got to cut. I don't know. I'll get the preview. I mean, whatever when he's done speaking. Did Sarah Sanders have a press conference today?
I was on the road. I don't know.
Okay.
The whole world was blowing up with Roseanne news. So. I do know that Junior Trump retweeted everything Roseanne said.
Oh, man. Oh, that's what I wanted to ask you, because this was like last week. Okay, you know I'm a C-SPAN head, and I recommend the website to everyone if you're interested in news or history. They just got everything on there. So, when those transcripts, when the government released transcripts of the emails between Don Jr. and Gladstone, that motherfucker's going to jail. He says clearly, I mean, you don't even have to weed through it. This is like it's all PDF, okay? So it's like the third page in. It's like, oh, yeah, I want to meet with you. Sounds great. Yeah, let's do this. See, and then what they've done, they've made a whole packet. So they have all the news clippings. They have testimony. They have the email transcripts. And this is another thing that bothers me. I think I'm down to 7%. Okay, so the president can request things from the NSA, I would think, because he's in charge. He can ask for intelligence. And we already know everything. All the telecommunications are being monitored. Well, maybe not monitored, but they're being stored. So they want to see what you've been doing. All they got to do is type in a number or whatever. You know, that's pretty simple. So what happens when you got a rogue like this asshole? What then?
And I'm no help.
But do you see the scenario I'm painting here?
Sure. Yes, I do.
It fucking bothers me, man. He can't be trusted. He's a fuck, and he's not even fucking sane. That's the thing. He's not even fucking sane. He's losing his shit. He's willing to kill all of us to make himself look okay. And giving fucking ZTE, the government, the military won't even use their shit. What the fuck is wrong with him?
I know. And I have a feeling tonight is going to be another one of those Lugan Pressa nights. Oh, he's just introduced Marsha. Goodness, Blackburn. Let's check in.
Mr. President, we are absolutely thrilled that you are here, and I'm glad all of you are here. Thank you for everything you've done to elect
Goodness.
So many Republicans, and thank you for everything that you are doing for President Donald Trump. He has had an amazing 18 months.
I mean, I just have to say this. Will you be surprised, and I don't want you to get wiped, I know you're down to low percentages, but Todd, would you ever be surprised if one of these Southern Trumpansy audiences just starts saying, Zig Heil! Zig Heil! Zig Heil!
No. You read my mind, Bob. I was about to say Nuremberg route. You know, this is the beer hall. That's what I'm saying. Motherfuckers, are people that fucking stupid with history?
No, they know where they're going, and they want to get there.
Every white person in that room can imagine, or thinks they can, a world without brown people, or at least an America without brown people.
It irks me, man. First of all, those people have been coming up and back between Central America, Mexico, and Southern California, Southern Arizona, Southern New Mexico, Southern Texas for millennia. That's their shit.
See, that's where our problem is, Todd. If we'd had a wall there on the Bering Land Bridge, the illegals would not have come across during the Ice Age.
Man, I'm just hoping that motherfucker gets that one last Big Mac that just clogs that one artery. And, you know.
Nah, that won't be. No. See, nature's no. I hate to say it, but impeachment would carry. Impeachment would guarantee his reelection. What we got to do is we got to win in November, and we got to beat him in 20. And that's scary as hell, because in order to beat him, we're gonna have to have at least some modest participation from the vote your conscience people. Because the vote your conscience people, somehow or another, letting Donald Trump be president of the fucking United States of America, did not, somehow that didn't violate their consciences. But voting for Hillary did.
Man, please. And see, this is what they don't get. What they don't get is that, guess what? If most of us believe, if Hillary Clinton was guilty of something, fine, let the process work. If she's got to go, she's got to go. And then,
hey, there would have been impeachment proceedings the first day that Congress came back into session. We might have had President Kane by now.
Well, that's okay. Fine, we're okay with that. Move on. And they're still talking about this woman. She's never been president. I mean, they talked about Obama derangement syndrome. What in the fuck did that woman do to these people? I mean, I'm not saying she's. I'm gonna tell you that she fucked up.
Well,
she
had ambitions toward the highest political office in the land while having a vagina, and that is intolerable. Dina. That is intolerable to the white wing.
See, now we're going full circle now. You see, this is the fucking problem, right? One of the fucking problems right here is that we have to come to terms with the fact that we are not as liberal as we think we are as a nation. We're very parochial. There's a large segment of this.
Uh-oh.
You know, that's the starting point.
Yeah.
Now, the maggots, you know, they might be able to deal with Ivanka maybe because, you know, we know why.
Well, we know that she would accept the guidance of males who knew what to really do.
Yeah,
I'm comfortable saying that the first woman president will be a Republican.
Mm-hmm. It could be Nikki Haley. Like I said, she's a consummate politician. She's learned.
She's told Russia to leave Ukraine. And you know, get out of Bonomo while you're at it.
Have you ever known any Ukrainians? I know there's some in Western Pennsylvania, a lot in the coal area. But...
No, not personally.
Well, I've known a few. I had some teachers early in school, and I've known some off and on. And you know, it really is a place unto itself. They identify, and I'm generalizing, but everybody I've met who's Ukrainian, fiercely independent. Fiercely. Like, even when they were part of the Soviet Union, it was still Ukraine, and they had power because it's the breadbasket. And it, you know, and I'll be honest, for some reason, the women are very attractive. They have nice skin, and, you know, they have a certain look. But that is their shit. They want to be unto themselves, just like Crimea. Now, I understand why Russia wants Crimea. I ain't got no problem with that. You know, they want a warm weather port. I get it. But we shouldn't be telling them what the fuck to do. And we shouldn't be telling Syria what to do. That man, Assad, was duly elected. I'm not saying he's a good guy, but you know what?
And we're not saying that the election was particularly clean, but, you know.
No, we're not. But maybe we have enough shit to worry about over here. I mean, we can't even keep our house in order. So this whole shit about spreading democracy, what the fuck? We can't even have a clean election here. So, anyway, thanks for taking my call, man.
Oh, thanks for making it. I always enjoy our conversations, Todd, no doubt about it.
Hey, man, you're doing a great job, and see you around the block.
All right, down at the barbershop, man.
Okay.
All right, later. That's barbecue, Todd, not Quaker, Todd. He explained that. No, that's unacceptable. All right, I may be running off a portion of the Horn Family Community Congregation, but damn it, let's see.
Have you seen what they've done? Have you seen what they're doing to us? And we're taking them out of our country by the thousands. Out. By the
them.
Thousands.
They. Ooh, cheer, white people,
so
cheer.
Was recruited by Schumer to run for the Senate. He had to get Pelosi's approval. Can you believe this? And if Bredesen were ever to get elected, he'd do whatever Chuck and Nancy, remember the term? Chuck and Nancy. They don't want the wall. They want open borders. They're more interested in taking care of criminals than they are in taking care of you. Bredesen donated a lot of money to the campaigns of Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton.
You forgot the Hussein part there, Donnie.
Crooked Hillary.
Dishonest Donnie. There it is. Well, it's not quite Zig Heil, but, you know, lock her up will do in a pinch.
So how do you like the fact they had people infiltrating our campaign? Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Can you imagine people infiltrating our campaign? Is there anybody?
Well, you got to give him that. It's imaginary.
Right now, that's infiltrating our campaign. Would you please raise your hand? That would take courage, huh? Now, look, you take a look at what's going on. Never in the history of our country.
Never.
Has something taken place like took place during this election. In all fairness, I'm no fan.
You mean colluding with the Russians,
crazy
dipshit?
Bernie Sanders. I'm no fan.
Yeah,
but I want to tell you,
rumpf.
He got screwed. He did. Crazy Bernie. He still doesn't know what happened. Oh, he doesn't know. I saw him on television. I don't know what happened. Me too. I thought he was winning. But it helped me because we were very, very cautious.
See, this is
and
a,
we worked
this is,
hard. Many.
This is a dog whistle to the progressives.
Yeah, he was. Fucking Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Paul's got it right, but I'll tell you what. I'd see the crowds. Crowds like this. I go one to another, all over the country. She'd go there. The only way she filled up the arena was to get Jay-Z. And his language was so filthy that it made me like the most clean-cut human being on earth.
Yeah, except the grab him by the pussy part.
It's true. It's true.
Is he warming up to the Roseanne part?
And by the way...
See what's... Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, Bob, Where was Trump at whenever this was recorded?
This isn't recorded. This is live in Nashville right now.
Oh, so yeah, I'm currently at trying to pick up some tools that belong to me, and they've got the interstate. They got I-40 shut down. So.
Yeah, naturally.
So.
Now this is a rally.
Also, I lost my job. Huh?
This is a rally for Marsha Blackburn. You lost your job, man. What?
Yeah, I got laid off today.
God damn it, Charlie. I'm sorry to hear it.
So. Yeah, it. I didn't realize it was today that he was coming to town. I knew he was coming to Nashville, and I just had to go by whenever I got laid off this morning, pick up some of my tools at one of the bank's imaging centers down here, and yeah, they had Interstate 40 shut down.
Yeah, but hold on a minute, Charlie. I thought the economy was booming. How come you getting laid off?
I mean, you know. It's kind of like, who was that economist under Clinton?
Reich.
Yeah, like he said, you bought it. And there's a lot of people bought it, and it's just not coming true.
Jesus, so, I'm sorry to hear it, Charlie. You gonna be all? You gonna be all right?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know what health insurance is going to run me. I lose my health insurance at the end of the month, which is about 4 days.
Jesus.
So.
I mean, you got any prospects? You going to go out and look? I mean, you got a very specific and talented skill set.
Yeah. And. Yeah, I'm going to go out and look, you know, and I talked to some people today, and I don't know. I think things they sign up for disability. I'll have to get my record from the Shriners Crippled Children's Hospital in Greenville, South Carolina, and then I've got where I crushed this vertebra in my back, and I've got a messed up disc, so I don't know if I can do it or not. I'm 63, so.
Oh, what a shitty thing to do. So they laid you off rather than Jesus. They figured they could hire some 20 something for half of what they're paying you.
Yep. And they haven't really found out yet what's going to happen, but this, in the past, this company has had a bad habit of laying people off and then starting to call them at home and asking questions. You know, like, how do I do this? And what do I need to do this?
Well, the first thing
you
do. It's
not going to work with me.
Yeah. Yeah, the first thing you can do is you can take your screwdriver and turn it sideways and shove it up your ass.
Yeah.
Charlie, in all seriousness, I know it probably won't work, but you should be aware that there is an age discrimination in Employment Act. If they hire a guy who's half your age, you might want to talk to a lawyer.
Well, they've already done it. I mean, you know.
They've already done it?
Yeah.
Then go talk to a lawyer.
Well, I mean, what are you going to get out of it? I mean, you know, if you've got to get a judgment, you got to prove harm. And even
No. We're talking about a specific federal statute.
Yeah.
And it's all laid out. It's called the Age Discrimination and Employment Act. It's the ADEA.
Yeah.
And I would, you know, I'm not talking about going and talking to the guy who writes deeds for the bank down on the corner in Hendersonville. I mean, go talk to a mean one in Nashville.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure how much, you know, what kind of a judgment. I mean, whenever the nurse practitioner refused to do anything about the crushed vertebra, there's no lawyers who touch that. I mean, it's very difficult to prove malpractice.
Well, but right, malpractice and ADEA are different animals altogether. Okay?
Yeah.
There are different standards of proof. There are they have different rules. So don't judge the one by the other. But I suggest that you do at least seek a conversation with a decent lawyer.
Yeah. Well, I just wonder, you know, because most lawyers want to get paid. I mean, you know, they can't work for free.
Yeah, well,
unless
I've completely forgotten, I think the ADEA comes with attorney's fees.
Oh, okay.
It would be, I mean, it's worth your time, Charlie, to at least investigate and find out what your rights are.
Yeah.
Never just lump it, my friend. So are you stuck out on the you're stuck out on the highway?
Oh no, I'm going the back way. I'm going up toward I'm heading west and going around Briley Parkway to avoid downtown.
No, it will.
I cannot believe that Donnie Dickhead comes to town and he knows he's going to block traffic and he still does it. That is one of the most narcissistic pigs that I have ever seen in my life.
He don't give a shit.
I know he doesn't.
He wants to be adored. That's why he's down there. Let's check in with him for a minute. Hang on.
I happen to think them allowing open borders, which we don't allow anyway, but they make it very difficult. But them allowing open borders, that's a good issue for us, not for them. But the one thing they do is they stick together. It's always like 48, 49, nobody leaves in the Senate. They stick together. They always vote like 100%.
You know, he's a lying piece of shit, Charlie, because it's a fact that we've got the Secretary of State we do, and we've got the CIA director that we have because Democrat senators crossed over. But none of the mental defectives in that room know that.
Here's the thing about it. I used to buy into some of that crap until I moved to Texas and worked at Kelly Air Force Base in San Antonio. And I'll tell you what, it was 3% black and 2% Caucasian. And I got along fine with the Hispanic people. I mean, they are very nice. They're very polite.
Folks who want to get, you know, Charlie, folks who want to get along will get along. It ain't hard. And it has absolutely nothing to do with ethnicity or skin color.
No, and really, I mean, what people need, before they start believing this bullshit, they need to go live with people of different ethnicities and different races and see what it's like. And then, you know, you can honestly, I mean, I could go up to Trump and say, Mr. Trump, been there, done that, got the T-shirt, and you're a goddamn liar. And here's why.
See, that's the thing, Charlie, it wouldn't matter. I mean, even if you subtracted the Secret Service and all the handlers and the flappers and the fluffers and whatnot, you can look at it and say, you're a goddamn liar. So what? I got money. You don't.
Well, I'd say, how'd you get your money, Mr. Trump? How many people do you have to screw over renting them property that's, you know, that's not worth what you're renting it for?
Tell us about the time you got busted by the federal government for racist rental policies, Don.
Yeah. And, you know, I've been on this earth 63 years, and I've lived a lot of places, and, you know,
you need to listen to about half of what these people say and then go out and verify what they're saying. And, you know, these white supremacists and all are full of crap. I mean, you know, I hate to put it like that, but they're full of shit. They just don't know what they're talking about.
Well, they don't. As far as his supporters go, I take a dim view, Charlie. Some may actually know they're being lied to, but they prefer to be lied to because the lies he's telling them confirm their basic, most essential, racist, bigoted, prejudiced, biased natures. They don't want to live in the world they live in. They want to live in the world that they fantasize that he can give them. And it has nothing to do with jobs, Charlie. It has nothing to do with the stock market or economic prosperity. They just want to be white people at the head, at the top of the heap. They did a really, usually they make a concerted effort to get some people of color behind him at these little Clavering rallies. But I can't see, but at best, one. The rest of them's white folks. And a bunch of, and they got one, two, three, at least, you know, four children behind him. You know, to show that children can be safe around him. It's pretty sickening, Charlie.
And what really bothers me, you know, children are basically innocent. They're just, children have not, you know, they're learning as they go, and really, I mean, they don't, children are pretty innocent, and, you know, and then they have these white supremacist parents, and they just fill these children's head with all this crap.
Poison. And it's, poison.
Yeah, and, you know, it's sad. Some people, you know, will grow up and move away, and they'll say, you know, I've heard this all my life, but it's not like this, you know. Maybe I've just been told a bunch of crap. And then there's some people that never, you know, they believe what they've been told, and they never change.
Don't want to, Charlie. Don't want to.
They're racist till the day they die.
Yeah. I regret to say that you're right. Well, listen, Charlie, talk to a lawyer, buddy, and take care of yourself, and don't, you know, stay in touch and stay part of the community so that, you know, so that we can help take care of each other.
Okie doke. I'll catch you later.
All right.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Charlie.
Bye.
Later. My buddy Charlie in Tennistan. Note coming in from Steve. Oh, dear Bob. Now, that's Steve's gimmick. Stay away from it, okay? Y'all are reading way too much into this. It's very, very simple. Whether he's lying or not never occurs to these amygdala-brained fuckwits. He says out loud what they've been thinking and saying only behind closed doors. That's it. And that's probably true. You know, there are a couple of bleach blonde monstrosities in the Tennessee delegation to the Congress. One of them is Marsha Gedneth Blackburn. And the reason Trump is down there is because the Republicans are worried about the fact that she's dumber than a goddamn post and stands a chance of being beaten by her Democratic challenger, Phil Bredesen, former governor. The other one, though, is Diane Black, and she's a piece of work, too. It is, after all, Titanic Tuesday, and thanks to Mike in Cascadia for reminding me of this. Well, she had a local a listening session last week with local pastors. And the HuffPost got hold of the recording in which Diane Black said, "How many of you, when you were in school, ever had an experience where a kid came to school with a gun?
never happened. So we say, why? Why do we see kids being so violent? What's out there? What makes them do that?
By the way, she's tired of being in, she's as sick of being in the House of Representatives as Marsha Gedneth Blackburn is. So she's running for governor of Tennessee. And she said, well, what I think it is the deterioration of the family. You know, violent movies and pornography. It's available on the shelf when you walk in the grocery store. Yeah, you have to reach up to get it, but there's pornography there. All this is available without parental guidance. And I think that's a big part of the root cause that we see so many young people that have mental illness get caught in these places. Take a moment, as soon as you're done screaming. Take a moment. Representative Diane Black of the great state of Tennessee says that we have school shootings because pornography. The only problem is if pornography was the cause of school shootings, then you would expect that having fornicatory adulterous affairs with porn stars and Playboy bunnies would probably cause you to bomb schools, in which case criminal number one would be occupying the White House, Donald Trump. I mean, if looking at naked pictures, it makes you want to shoot up a school, what the hell do you reckon actually having sex with the porno film stars and the Playboy bunnies that have bared it all in the pages of the, what do you reckon that does? Well, CNN got hold of Diane Black's spokescreep, one Chris Hartline. Chris Hartline, when CNN asked, well, what is it about pornography that she thinks causes school shootings? Chris Hartline responded, I think the context is pretty clear. Diane believes the breakdown of families and communities plays a significant role in instances of school violence. And by the way, it's not just any pornography, it's grocery store pornography. Not just any pornography, grocery store pornography. It's kind of like me and my innard problems. And, you know, it's not pizza generally. I didn't have any problem with the pizza in New York. It's the gas station pizza that does me in. Jesus wept. And hey, you got a fighting chance to be governor of Tennessee. Wow. Just wow. All right, what's Dishonest Donnie saying?
We've passed the largest tax cuts and reform in American history. Larger than Ronald Reagan many years ago. And you know, when I got involved...
He just can't stop talking about size. And he waves those little tiny hands of his. Somebody's compensating. Whew, mercy. You know, I'm so old. I remember, 15 years back or so, 16, 17, when another Republican president who wasn't actually elected by the will of the people was saying, we got a great tax cut package for you here. Everybody's going to get a check, and it's going to heat up the economy that we needed to cool down with some tax cuts. 5, 6, 7 years later, the economy crashed on account of those same tax cuts. So if that's the timeline,
long about the presidential election of 2024, or maybe a year or so before, look for a soft place to land. Because it's going to crash too. As far as those tax cuts are concerned, Randy in PA says, don't spend that extra dollar and a half in your paycheck all in one place, bub. Oh, what you want to do with that is you want to put it into your mutual fund along with all the other millions of dollars. What? You don't have millions of dollars, you say, Rube? Well, too bad for you. Silent R. Lamar says, porn and school shootings? Oh, please. Nipples and bullets. Oh, my God. I need a timeout, really. America's doomed with a president like this. Hard to argue. All right. I'm sorry. It's probably making you want to scream, but I just want to be there when he starts hooting about the persecution of Roseanne.
And nobody knew that was going to happen because we had it done. Repeal and replace. And the person that voted that way only talked repeal and replace. He campaigned on it. So I'll tell you this. Forget that. We are coming up with great health care. Our Secretary of Labor is coming out with a plan in 2 weeks. Association plan. Going to be great. Our Secretary of Health, Alex. We have Alex Acosta. You know that? I have my two Alexes. Both my Alexes are coming out with plans that are phenomenal plans.
My Alexes.
Phenomenal plans. Alex Azar, Alex Acosta, and they'll be out over the next 4 weeks. It's going to cover a tremendous amount of territory. Plus, in the tax cuts, what did we get? The individual mandate is out the window. That was the most unpopular part of Obama.
Well, praise
so
fake, sweet baby Jesus.
That was where you have the privilege of paying a lot of money so that you don't have to pay for health care because you're not going to get it, okay? So you pay not to have to pay for health care. In other words, you're not going to get health care. You pay for the privilege, think of it. You pay for the, every time I think of this, you pay for the privilege of not getting health care. Great. That's a great one. I love it.
You remember that scene in Rain Man where Raymond says something and Tom Cruise's character responds, he's talking about something that happened 3 days ago. He's still fighting health care. There's still too many people in this country that have health care. He hasn't fucked enough Americans yet. It's breathtaking. It is.
And I wasn't pushing it too hard, to be honest with you, because I was more focused on the tax. Because he called up, he goes, is it true that you're trying to get Anwan? You maybe get it? I said, yeah, who cares? It's the biggest find. It's like phenomenal.
Oil.
I said, why do you ask? He said, well, you know, every president, Bush. $7 trillion in the Middle East. Great. Great. Great investment. Great. A lot of death. Death and blood and money. Horrible. Bush. Everybody.
Yeah, but wait a minute, dumbass. Yesterday you said that all those dead soldiers would be thrilled with how your economy was doing. Now it's not a good idea. Oh, my God.
Said, you got to get Anwar approved. And we got it approved as part of the... I never knew it was such a big deal. It's actually a big deal. And the people of Alaska, who are great, they're working on it right now. They're moving along.
Oh, good to know the people.
Last week we passed new landmark legislation to give choice to our great veterans. It's going through. We're going to have it. It's going to be incredible. We're going for choice. Haven't finished the process yet, but it's happening. Choice. You know,
before I knew too much about the VA, I used to say, we're going to take care of these are our great people. They are, in many cases.
It is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. If only Shakespeare had known what he was talking about. I've popped in long enough to just hear the babbling. Can you explain to me what the fascination is? What are, you know, however many dozen people are in this room, what are they actually getting out of whatever passes for the content of his speech? Because I got nothing. He's not saying anything. It's the verbal equivalent of cotton candy. It's empty calories. And you can tell sometimes that they know they're supposed to be cheering, but they're not quite sure what they're cheering for. They're just waiting for him to say something hateful. In the excerpts that we've checked in on, it is telling that the biggest applause lines have been the ones that included his bigotry and their bigotry against people that they perceive don't look like them. Tells you a little something, doesn't it? One last taste.
Dear God. VA Accountability Act. I'm proud of that one. Nobody talks about it. By the way, these guys don't talk about it. They don't even talk about it.
This is a wrestling crowd, okay? This crowd is not a goddamn nickel's worth of difference between the same crowd that's going to show up for wrestling down at the Armory on Saturday night. They boo when they're supposed to boo. They cheer when they're supposed to cheer. And they don't understand that the whole goddamn thing is a set piece. And if we do not focus like a goddamn laser beam on 2018, November, if we don't at least put a stick in his spokes and slow him down, 2020 will be an almost foregone conclusion. And I don't know about you. And thank you, John. Thank you for jumping in on all the challenges. Thank you very kindly. Thank you so much. And thank you to Tracy, and thank you to Ralphs for making those challenges. Thank you to Alex and John and Todd for meeting them. We struggle to survive here from month to month, not year to year, from month to month. And we've been doing this for 13 years. I think about a possible second term. You know, by the end of his second term, I will be 61 years old. Not that there's anything particular noteworthy about being 61, but that's mind-boggling to me. A-
I find it unbearable that there will be a second term of this monster. This offense against the entire philosophical idea of America. Wait, he was pointing at somebody. What the hell's going on here?
Back, okay? It's pretty great. And he's doing a great job. You better get some rest because we have some pretty good negotiations coming up.
No, it's some lickspittle. But that's another thing. You know, he's got members of his cabinet with him on what is very obviously a campaign rally. Shh, don't tell anybody, but that's probably illegal. Note coming in from Clarence in Philly. Violence is the culture of America, says Clarence. I grew up playing Army, Cowboys and Indians, Cops and Robbers. All of these games have a violent theme to them. The movies of the late 50s and early 60s were all about war, crime, and genocide. So that video game porn culture business doesn't fly. No, it doesn't. Well, I guess if you want to hear the rest of it, you'll have to tune in. Well, whatever. Nobody wanted to hear that in the first place. Thank you one and all for joining in. Thank you for helping us get to the end of the May fundraising a couple of days ahead. Thank you so very much. Thanks to all of you who share in your precious finite time engaging in this little conversation. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Steve and Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.